This is a podcast about language. Language is more than just a means of communication. It's also a blank canvas on which people project their ideas. Language gives space for younger generations to invent their own ideas and concepts and means of self-expression and of looking at the world, best exemplified in their slang. In English, the fingerprints of thousands of generations can be heard in the way that they say the apple of one's eye, or call something a bummer, or call somebody a kiss-up. It's also the only reason why pony and baloney rhyme. Even in languages as widespread and as international as Spanish, language is inextricably linked with culture, and culture with people. These people live and they grow and they have children to whom they can pass on their way of thinking and self-expression and of viewing the world. These children are granted a piece of blank canvas to, in effect, make their own. But what happens if that canvas is taken from them? This is exactly what happened to children who should have spoken a dialect of French here in Missouri during the early 20th century. This is a story about its history, about its persecution, and the work of those who fight to prevent its extinction. My name is Corey. Let's try to learn something today. In order to understand this dialect, first we need to examine its history. Let's go back to Missouri. But not the Missouri that we know today, the Missouri back in the colonial period. The area was initially inhabited by members of the Mississippian culture from the 9th to 15th centuries, as well as other migrating tribal groups. And in the 16th century, French settlers came to the area who were moving west to avoid British rule. St. Louis was established in 1764. After a slew of wars that really I don't think we really need to be bothered to go over, the land changed hands between the French and the British and eventually to the Americans in 1800 with the Louisiana Purchase, at which point the city became the starting point for the Lewis and Clark expedition. But the French language still persisted in the area. The language saw plenty of evolution. For example, in the old mines area of Missouri, French Canadians and French Louisianians alike brought their dialects of French with them as they came looking for work. For a brief period in history, the language and the culture were allowed to thrive. Cities and settlements were erected with French names, and French speakers hosted community events, like chowders, where food was cooked in a large communal pot to celebrate their shared identity. Missouri French had taken an identity of its own, one that shaped the area around it, as cities and areas were established with French names. However, this would not last forever. Efforts to quell the language took shape in the most dangerous place and the most dangerous form imaginable, by reaching the younger generations. During the 1920s and 1930s, students in school were made fun of, or worse, punished, for speaking French. From a very young age, the language was presented to them as a source of shame, instead of the symbol of cultural pride that it had been for their parents and for their grandparents. This persecution cut the growth of the language off at the root, as fewer and fewer speakers were willing to pass it on to their children. The language survived only marginally in areas like old mines, and really only due to the area's isolation. Those who can speak it today can only remember a few words or phrases. As a bit of a language nerd,
I was pretty disappointed to find out that the language isn't as prevalent in the area as it used to be. But it was pretty interesting to see that its fingerprints are still visible all over the region, from St. Louis City proper all the way to southeastern Indiana. Intrigued by this, I decided I might take up a conversation with the proper authority, Dennis Stromat. Dennis is a more local name, known primarily for his work in preserving French Creole culture through his music. He doesn't consider himself a fluent speaker of Illinois country French, but he does take great pride in his work. He said that his Missouri accent allows him to communicate very well with Canadian French speakers, especially those up in Winnipeg. He takes pride in his accent, saying that it sits comfortably between that of Louisiana and that of Canadian French. The most important part of the language to him are the memories that it carries, the sense of community that learning the language opened him up to feel. He said of a trip to Switzerland that when he was able to learn the French language, to understand the jokes, to think in it, to dream in it, that was when the language became part of his own personal strata. Language breeds your understanding of the world, he said. When I asked him about how he preserves the language in his own work and his own life, he told me that even though his primary means of preservation is his music, he still speaks the language around his children. Much of his work, however, it's worth noting, is available on Spotify, and his best work, in my opinion, is in his live shows. He went on to explain that Missouri French is just one group. All Illinois Country French dialects are similar, but the dialects tend to concentrate in pockets across this region. In old mines, old gatherings for bouillon in the style of their ancestors continue today. It's where this colonial French language and its cuisine continue to converge in the way that they did generations before. It was extremely helpful to find someone who was interested in preserving the cultural aspect of the language and who could speak intelligently about that. But to learn a bit more about the technical details behind the language, I decided I would talk to Nathaniel Allier. Nate is a young man who can usually be seen sporting a cap of some kind. He's not a musician, but his preservation of the language involves a much more direct approach. He teaches the language over Zoom courses, in group or private lessons. Naturally intrigued, I decided I'd ask him the same questions that I'd ask Dennis. Nate considered himself a fluent speaker of the language, but was much less hopeful for the future of the language than Dennis was. Nate said that it would be wonderful to be able to pass the language on to a younger generation, but the greatest obstacle to that is interest. There are too few people in this area who would ever want to learn the language, and sitting in on his language courses, I noticed exactly what he meant. Though the classes were lively and engaging, and I had quite a bit of fun there, there were only a handful of students. It felt kind of unrealistic to imagine that an entire state or region would ever be on board with the same thing. To many, it may feel that the language is lost. I personally agree with Nate's assumption that interest will be too sparse for anything meaningful to happen. It doesn't take a linguist to understand that the language, the people, and the culture as they once existed are gone. There's no getting them back in the way that they used to thrive here. No one greets each other in French anymore as they pass one another on the street. Few people you meet will ever even know that the language was spoken here. In that way, the language has not only died, but it's been buried. I found that a bit morbidly funny, just as few people will ever really understand the gravity of their own mortality and the fact that after they move on, the world will go on without them. No Illinois country French speaker in their time ever thought that their language or their way of living would ever really die. I don't believe in an afterlife. I believe that after death, our consciousness ceases. But who we are and who we once were will continue to live on in the people we influenced and in the things that we leave behind. And morbid though it may seem for me to say that the Illinois country French language has died, it will still continue to live on in the folk tales that people told each other that we've managed to write down and keep in books in our libraries today. The fingerprints of the language are still evident all over our city. The language continues to live and to thrive in names that are as glaringly French as Florissant or St. Louis. It continues to live on in one of the nation's biggest Mardi Gras celebrations among the old houses of the Soulard neighborhood. It's worth noting, by the way, that Soulard means drunk in Missouri French. It continues to live on in Laclede Landing, the entertainment district that was named after the city's French founder, Pierre Laclede. But it isn't just in our city. It's also in Cahokia, Illinois, where the Church of the Holy Family was constructed in 1699, and where it still stands today. And it's also in the Chaudières, or as we like to call them in English, the Chowders, the grandiose celebration of family and friendship that people still continue to practice in Indiana today, just as their ancestors did generations before. Although this means of thinking and expressing oneself and relating to the world around us has been lost to time and to persecution, it's worth remembering that the people who would have spoken this language are still alive today, and they hold fast to their identity. And really, when you think about it, this means that the French language here never really died. Instead, it evolved. French word after French word was slowly replaced by English ones. And it reminds me of the old brain teaser that asks, if you replace all of the planks of an old boat, one by one, will the finished result still be the same boat? The life and quasi-death and evolution of Illinois country French adds a new dimension to that question. Though no one speaks the language today in the way that they used to, the people of the region continue to live in the same way that their ancestors did, by celebrating their community, and their common heritage, and that which makes them unique. And though, pun absolutely intended, the vehicle by which they may do so looks different, the same end goal is still achieved. So I think that the answer in a roundabout way is yes. I think this is one of the most wonderful things about our city. This has been Let's Learn Something, a podcast by Corey Lyles about a once vibrant language that was spoken in his hometown. what happened to it, and what will become of its future. Thank you for your time. And don't forget, never stop trying to learn something.